had a 6 more weeks of us being gone. Ah! I feel like I got woos and boos for both of them from same people. I'm like, what's going on here? Oh my gosh. Well, good morning, Northgate Community Church. If you don't know who I am, my name is Jesse Adams, and I'm the associate pastor of outreach here at Northgate Community Church. And kind of just how I started this morning, it felt like an eternity being away these last 6 weeks. And according to you all, it felt maybe like an eternity as well. Maybe KB's like, no, I could have 6 more weeks, 12 weeks next time. That's what we're going for next time. It's like kind of like Groundhog's Day, right? You know, it's kind of like Groundhog's Day. Yeah. But it kind of felt like an eternity. And this week, I don't know, do you guys remember like the first day of school or maybe like the first day you started a new job? You guys kind of remember that feeling? This week kind of felt that way. It was literally week number 5 into my sabbatical, and Miles is like, hey, do you want to preach? Yes, I would love to preach on Sunday. Absolutely. But this week leading up kind of felt like the first day of school. I don't know if you noticed, I got a new haircut. You don't have to like it, but, you know, I'm not even sure I like it yet, but it's different, right? Thanks, John. I did not get any new shoes or new clothes leading up to this week, but the anticipation of being here this week, my excitement is uncontainable, if you can't tell. But coming back from this past 6 weeks, I could tell you that I have a renewed sense of perspective, of a new mindset, and, of course, some renewed energy. So one of the questions that I got a lot when first pitching this idea of the sabbatical was, why do you need to go on a sabbatical? And to be honest, one of the reasons why, and this is a little selfish, I kind of wanted to know what people did when they didn't go to church on Sunday. Because as far as my memory holds true, I've always gone to church either on a Saturday night or on a Sunday morning for as long as time has been true. And I even remember growing up, we were going to New Hope Church, and I would ask my parents driving home, I was like, do we ever get like a break? Because, you know, at the time I was still in, you know, when you go to school, you get like a summer break, right? You get like 8 weeks off or however many weeks off. I was like, does church work the same way? Can we get 6 to 8 weeks in the summertime where we don't have to show up to this building every single Saturday or Sunday? So that was kind of selfish reason number one. I didn't know. Reason number two is I knew, because of all the work that I had done, that my wife and I had done, that if we were to stay on the course that we were at, there would be some problems. So I knew we were going to nip it in the bud and take a break. So in the fall of last year, also leading up to this particular time, I kind of also felt something as well that was also adding to this desire to take a break. And anybody know what mojo is, right? It's kind of hard to explain sometimes, right? In the fall, in that particular time, in the last 5 years leading up to that particular season, my wife and I had planted a church. I was an interim pastor for a year here at Northgate Community Church. You know, I closed down a church. I stepped into this, like, leadership role as the associate pastor of outreach. So I was like, boom, 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 boom. And I was like, I was telling my buddy Brent, I was like, you know, I kind of feel like I lost my mojo, right? The creative juices, some of the things that I would think about decades ahead, things I was thinking about for Northgate Community Church, for our city, I was really just dry. There was just nothing left. And when there's nothing left to give, it just doesn't do justice to the kingdom of God. So I told Miles, I was like, hey, man, I need to take 6 weeks off at the beginning of the year. And it wasn't quite real yet, but I started telling people, hey, I think I'm thinking about taking the sabbatical. Some of the responses I got was, oh, are you okay? Or, is everything all right? What's wrong? Like, there's something has to be wrong. I started telling my pastor friends, and one of them used the B word, burnout. They would go and say, well, you must be burnt out. I'm like, man, I don't know if I'm burnt out. I mean, I could literally do all these things forever, but I know myself well enough to know to say, if I keep doing this, I'm going to get to that particular point. In fact, when I visited one of my friends' churches while I was away, he told his congregation that I had quit church altogether. I was like, I don't think that's entirely true, but let's just go with that. So I was starting to tell people that I was taking this break, and these responses were kind of making me think about my reasons for going. It kind of made people, I think, a little uncomfortable or uneasy. And I think the reason for that is because when we look at church as a whole, the big C church, it's kind of uncommon and it's not built into our church culture to say, hey, you need to take a break. Instead, what we get fed and what we see a lot of times are go, 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 efficiency, efficiency, efficiency. What does it look like? How do we make it better? How do we make it stronger? How do we make it more sexy? But I knew that that wasn't exactly for me. I knew that I could not continue to be on this track and be the effective leader that I knew that God wanted me to be. So I needed to rediscover my mojo, the juices that flowed, that creative bump. And I knew that I couldn't do it in a familiar space, such as Northgate. So I decided to take a break. My family decided to take a break. And what I didn't know then, but what I definitely know now, is those 6 weeks were some of the hardest 6 weeks spiritually, emotionally, that I have ever gone through in my entire life. It was tough. And today, what we're going to do is we're going to go through, I themed out each and every week. Each week has a theme. And we're going to go through each and every week, and I'm going to get you into the mind of Jesse today. And it's going to be scary. Are you ready? But before that, literally days before I started my sabbatical, the day after Christmas, I was sitting at home watching YouTube late at night, watching this awesome Canadian guy build a cabin in the middle of the Canadian wilderness. I'm like, I want to be like this guy. He literally built an entire, like, it's amazing. It was 10 o'clock and I was like, at night, and I was like, I don't think anybody checked the mail. So I go out there, check the mail, and I get this letter from Kaiser Permanente, which is a medical insurance company. And they stated that I had not paid any of my insurance premiums for the entire year of 2019. And I go, what? I didn't even read the whole thing. And then the next thing that I saw was $9,996. I was like, whoa. It like took me back. I was like hyperventilating. I was like a complete wreck. I woke up Tiffany. I'm like, Tiffany, 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 Tiffany. And this is literally what's happening. And she's like, wah, 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 wah. Oh my gosh. And I go, I just got a letter from Kaiser. I can't breathe. And it says that we owe $9,000. Called Kaiser and they said, yeah, we didn't get any of your premiums. I go, how could that be possible? I mean, like, you literally been taking money out of my account. And like, whoa, da, 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 da. It was at this moment, and I've said this before, I don't know from up here, but a lot of my friends know, I have a pretty mild case of anxiety almost all the time. this, you know, have anybody ever seen Spinal Tap before, right? You know, when they turn it to 11, there's the guitar amp that goes up to 11, right? Because 10 just isn't loud enough. This went to 15, 20, 1,000. It could have been a million at that point. My anxiety was so high at this point. It was ridiculous. Coupled with that was this reality of that I was going to be leaving Northgate for 6 weeks. It felt like I was quitting for 6 weeks. And then this other reality started setting in that I'm not going to be doing anything. Like, what am I going to do? Part of this anxiety that I had manifested itself in being in a dream state, which sometimes happens. If reality was right here, I was experiencing it right here. So, like, it almost felt like I was drunk for, like, weeks at a time. I couldn't focus. I was dizzy. It was all kinds of things. Then my ears started to clog as, a like, another manifestation of it. It was bizarre. I thought, again, this is the conspiracy thoughts. I thought I had a brain tumor. Right? It sounds ridiculous now, right? It does. I thought I had some kind of, like, autoimmune. I mean, it's just bad. Bad news. And of course, what also gets coupled with that, at least for me, is depression, right? Not wanting to get out of bed. That's a big trigger for me. I told Tiffany, like, if you see me at 7:30 in the morning and I'm just watching YouTube videos, probably not a great day for me already. And it felt like I was being attacked, which, if we know anything about spiritual warfare, was definitely added to it. But this high sense of anxiety colored and put a lens over my sabbatical time. It was something that came out of the blue. I wasn't fully prepared for, but yet there I was living in it. So we're going to go through each week here with that particular frame of mind, with that particular lens. Week's one theme was regret. Immediate regret. Now, I don't know if you know a lot of things about me. For those who don't know me very well, I love making decisions. It's like a spiritual gift of mine. You give me A or B, I'll choose C. You give me, you know, any other choice, I'll make a decision. And I'm generally pretty okay with the decision that gets made. Like, there's no wrong decision. There's just a decision. This was the dumbest decision I'd ever made on week one. My brain was like, what an idiot. You thought that you could take a break? What also came from this was this, again, this immediate sense of loneliness in week one. And I had only been gone for 5 days, 7 days max. Like, I have friends all around me. But there's this, like, doom sense of just, like, there's nobody here. They don't need me. They don't want me. I had nothing to look forward to. Again, the thing that, again, colored this was this high sense of anxiety, and I was constantly thinking about that dumb Kaiser premium bill. It was the only thing that I could possibly think of. Questions of, would it be fixed? Who could fix it? I don't know if you know about the bureaucratic system of health insurance. They don't move fast. In fact, even today, it's not fixed. And I got to file my taxes, which I let them know. So I'm getting ahead of myself here. Getting ahead of myself. Whew. But the question is, who's going to help me? Who's going to help solve this problem, this what seems like a Mount Everest-size mountain to help get this health insurance thing? Because I'm supposed to be resting. I'm supposed to be, like, getting fed. I'm supposed to be Moses coming down off Mount Sinai, and I'm all glowing because I've been in the presence of Jesus or God or Yahweh. That wasn't happening. If you hadn't already caught on to this, I'm also a little too proud to ask for help. Yeah. So T knows that I get anxiety pretty frequently. It just kind of comes out of the blue. I'm always at this, you know, level of it. But this was a whole nother level, folks. And it's not built into my personality to ask for help or to ask, hey, can you pray for me? Because that would mean that I need help, that I'm going to be in a vulnerable state to be able to say that I don't got it all put together. And this thought kept coming in. It says, I could not believe that my anxiety is preventing me from receiving the rest that I so desperately needed, that my family so desperately needed. I could not believe that this was happening. So that was week one. Week two, week two's theme, FOMO. Anybody know what FOMO is? You could say it, say it. Fear of missing out. Now, I knew that I was going to experience FOMO. I just knew it, because that's my personality. I used to make it awkward back in the day. If I knew that people were doing something and I wasn't invited, I would show up. Yes, I would. And I would make it awkward. Makes sense why I don't get invited to many things anymore now. Week two, FOMO. Again, my anxiety was still pretty high. But this was the week that finally, after 13 days of being away, I got to hang out with people. Again, I had only been gone for just a short period of time, but it might as well have been a decade at this point, because a lot of things were happening in those 13 days, and I was missing out. But I still wasn't feeling normal. I still wasn't feeling myself. I was still wrestling with these thoughts. I still was mad at myself that I was letting this anxiety get the best of me. So week three's theme is the release. So it was like a Monday or Tuesday morning. Again, my trigger, which I explained before, was just sitting in bed watching YouTube. That's exactly what I was doing pretty hard. I was just sitting there, could not get up out of bed. There was no possible way that I was going to do anything. And I told T something that I oftentimes don't tell her, and that was that I wasn't feeling great. And I told her, no, really, like, I don't feel like myself. Like, there is something wrong with me. And even this, the fear and the anxiety of, like, I can't even go to the doctor because of my health insurance thing. I don't even know if I can go see a doctor. Would they even see me? You know, I'm like ready to do anything, man. CBD, you, I was like, hemp oil, I was ready to do whatever it took for me to get back to feeling normal again, man. But I was sitting in my bed, and I told Tiffany, I was like, T, I'm just not feeling myself. And it was at that moment that I began to cry. Just let it all out. And this wasn't a pretty cry, folks. This was an ugly cry. I just began to let go. I couldn't do it on my own. I could not do and fix this problem on my own. There's no possible way that would have possibly happened. I needed somebody's help to get me past this point. Not only that, I asked her to pray for me. Now, that should not be weird, to have your spouse pray for you. That should just be a natural thing that's built into marriages. But it's a tough one for me to ask my wife to pray for me. So she prayed for me. And wouldn't you know it, I maybe started feeling a little normal again. It almost felt like a little bit of weight was lifted off my shoulders, that I wasn't going to have to bear this burden by myself, that maybe I should be a little more truthful and confess a little more to my wife, so that way we could be a team to fix the problem. Now, I wasn't 100%. I wasn't back at this level again, but I began to feel like that dream space that was between here and here. I was like, oh, I could maybe feel like I'm in reality again. I was reading the Bible in a year in 2019. That was one of the things that we were doing around here. I had finished it in February, but when this was happening in the middle of January, and to even go back just a bit, even reading and engaging the Bible in 1 year, that gave me anxiety. I literally had to stop listening to it. I'm like, I can't listen to this anymore. It's literally causing me to, like, hyperventilate. But I was listening to the Bible in 1 year, and the quintessential Jesus moment when he just seems to show up at the right time, he shows up and showed up at that right time. I was driving in my car, as I often do, listening to the Bible read to me in my car, and this verse was read to me. I stopped the car. I pulled over. I was like, hold on a second. I went back to that verse, and I was like, oh my gosh. I don't know if I had ever read scripture that was more pointed, convicting, truthful, that I had read in my entire life than that particular moment right there. This verse that popped up in this Bible app was Psalm 94, 18 through 19. It goes like this: I cried out, which I had done many times, that I am slipping, but your unfailing love, O Lord, supported me. When doubts filled my mind, your comfort gave me renewed hope and cheer. Now, I can't be the only one who's felt like they've been slipping from the presence of Jesus, where it feels like there's no way out, when it feels like there's no one there to save you, that situation, those consequences, or whatever that's going on in your life is so big that Jesus couldn't fix. I mean, like, this particular verse is so vulnerable. I don't know if I'd ever read anything that was so true for me at that time. I cried out, I am slipping. Imagine that. Imagine that, just being on like a cliff or somewhere where it's like, or you're like in quicksand. You're like, I am literally helpless in this situation. The second part of that verse, when doubts filled my mind, in some translations, it means when my anxieties are there. Your comfort gave me renewed hope and cheer. What I needed to be convicted of is I was trying to fix this and support this situation on my shoulders, which are weak, instead of the shoulders of the Lord, who are strong. There was no hope. There was no cheer in my life at that particular time. So what I did for the next few days is I put that particular verse on my lock screen. So every time I would open my phone, which was dozens of times a day, I would always see that verse. Then I would recite this verse over and over again. And again, this didn't make it all go away magically. I still had lots of anxiety about all kinds of other things. This wasn't some kind of like magical pill or prayer that just like made me anxiety free. But what it made me feel in that moment was I was not alone. So something else began to happen in this particular time, in this week of release. I began to feel a little bit of hope and cheer. Which again, I'm a pretty like optimistic person generally, but I had not realized that there could be even more optimism, even more cheer in my life. Again, I began to feel connected back to reality. That block that I had felt at the beginning that was kind of blocking my rest was starting to be removed. That I was going to be entering my Sabbath time very soon. So one of the things that I had kind of done prepping for this particular time was having a Sabbath project. So if you know me a little bit, again, you could tell I really needed this time away. I like winning things. Yeah, I love winning things. If I can't, I will not compete if I cannot win it. Second place and third place are for losers. Lots of things to work on still, folks. Lots of things. I thought that I was going to win the Sabbath time. I was going to win this. I thought I was going to be number one Sabbath winner of all time, of all the saints and all of the folks that came before me, pale in comparison to my Sabbath time. Wrong. Get to that a little bit later. So one of my projects was, you know, I'll write a memoir of my time in the church and what got me to this particular spot. And then I thought, you know, that's just too easy. Just too easy. I could write all day long. You know, it would be even harder and even more impressive if I wrote six songs while I was away. Six complete songs. Nope. Nothing. That also gave me anxiety because I was failing my project. I was like, oh my gosh, people are going to think I'm a big loser. But it was in this week that something happened. Tiffany went to Target. She's like, I'll be back to Target, because who doesn't love Target? She goes to Target. She's gone for about 40 minutes. And I got this like little tune floating in my head. And I got this line that just showed up out of nowhere. So what I'd like to do this morning is actually play that song for you. Looking back, I have some fears. A childhood so unclear. Looking forward seems so far. Out of touch, cause it hurts so much. Cause it's hard to find when healing's blind. It's hard to find when healing's blind. In my grasp I see so clear. Along the path I've stumbled near. Life can grow amongst the stones. The path tomorrow's still unknown. It's hard to find when healing's blind. It's hard to find when healing's blind. Looking back, it's hard to see that little boy staring back at me. I've changed a lot, there's no compare. Gonna hit the road, gonna see me there. It's hard to find when healing's blind. It's hard to find when healing's blind. Cause it's hard to find when healing's blind. Cause it's hard to find when healing's blind. So I wrote a song, one song. That was it. Out of 6 weeks, I only wrote one song. I think it's all right. I think it's good. Week 5's theme, feeling normal. To no one's surprise, my health insurance situation was taken care of. I no longer owe that $9,996. It's still not fixed, Still have to call them on Tuesday, but that's okay. But it was in this particular week that I knew that I was starting to get the rest that I was searching for. The church walls were still up, although I heard the fence blew down, which, you know, all right. Things were still happening here. People were still showing up. Worship was still happening. People were still happy. So I was like, all right, cool. I'm good. I really enjoyed my time not showing up on Sundays. It was great. We went to a lot of really cool places. Went to Santa Cruz. That was awesome. 1 week. Went to a few churches also peppered in there. Went to Sonora. That was also a great time. And then went to Monterey to kind of top it all off. It was great. I could finally see why people don't go to church on Sundays. You have so much time. But it was also in this week that there was this tension building up inside my soul. It was this idea of being homesick. We missed y'all. We missed what's going on here. I missed this building. The carpet. I missed all the things, the meetings, all the things. The conversations. So week six theme is homesick. T and I were both ready. Even Tiffany, she's like, I'm out of here. I'm not going to come back to this place ever again. Even she was like, I miss everybody. We're ready to get back to our church family. Again, it could have been really easy for us to get used to this idea of not showing up on Sunday. I mean, it wasn't bad, folks. It was not bad. But it was time to come home. It was time to be back. So when Miles asked me to preach that one a couple weeks ago, I was like, yeah, I think this might be a good thing. So how does my time away affect you folks here today? You may be hearing this and be like, there is no way on God's green earth that I'm going to take a Sabbath. That sounds horrible. There's no rest there. No. What does it mean for us today with my time away? Three quick things. You need a Sabbath. I'm going to say it again. You need a Sabbath. You need a time away from your work, from your church. You need a break from your family. Yeah. You need a break from your friends. You need a break from the things that hold you to this particular existence. You need to find a place to disconnect. One example of that, other than the only one that I just went through, was our buddy Bill Ludwig. 5 years ago, he went on a Sabbath. He drove from Ashland to California without any music on. Just the wind in his hairs. And the road noise. And at the time I was like, that's ridiculous. I can never do that. Driving from Ashland to California? Okay, all right, that's not too bad. But to do it without any podcasts? How am I supposed to learn without podcasts? How am I supposed to be entertained without my music? How am I supposed to grow wiser without my audiobooks? No. We could learn a little bit from Uncle Bill. That time away. That time away is important. You need a Sabbath. Jesus demonstrated it a lot. So if Jesus demonstrated it, we should mimic it. All right? Enough said. Number two, you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself, all right? I quickly learned that you can't win Sabbathing. There's no first place at all. In fact, oftentimes the best place is the last place in this particular time. My ego had no place in space in this particular 6 weeks because my ego as you just saw, is incredibly fragile, insecure, and fallible. And we could see those particular characteristics seen in Scripture. Just open up to any Psalms. There's a lot of good parts, but there's a lot of like, oh Lord, where are you? I feel so distant. Your presence is gone. My enemies are surrounding me. These are very normal human emotions and experiences. And God wants us to rely on Him to do that heavy lifting. And lastly, we have the worship team coming up at this time. Lastly, you were never alone. Not only is that a great album from the band Emery, but it's a truthful statement. I should be more open and truthful about my mental health. This isn't something that is a sin that should be prayed away, but is something that I should just be okay with talking about. It's just something that happens to me, that this particular time of anxiety is just there. Psalm 94, that psalm helped a little bit. It did. But something else helps me a lot more, and that's just being in community with you. We have each other. One of the things that I miss the most was my small group. And if you don't have a small group, if you're not in one, get one, all right? Find a small group. Those are safe places to be able to expose and to confess things in your life to people around you. That is important. Because we can't get healing in isolation because we can't do it alone, right? So these past 40 days, it was kind of fun when I did the math. It was literally 40 days on the dot, which that means something, folks. That means something. My time away was filled with all kinds of emotions, but I would not have traded it for the world. And I'm really looking forward to Jesse Sabbath 2.0. It will look a lot differently. So let me go ahead and pray, and we'll have the worship team take it away. So Heavenly Father, I just thank you for today. I thank you for my church family. I thank you for all my church friends. I thank you for all the people that are in this building, Lord. And I just thank you that they were gracious and merciful enough to let me leave for 6 weeks. But Lord, ultimately, your work still goes on even without me being here, Lord. And that's really, for me, the big revelation. So Lord, again, I just pray that as we leave today, that we recognize that rest is important. We just pray that you would just continue to reveal things in our hearts and our souls and our personalities, Lord, because that's what makes this congregation better, which ultimately makes our community better. So Lord, again, I just thank you for all the things that you've done for us in this last 6 weeks, Lord, and we just look forward to the next 6 weeks. And we just pray this in your name. Amen.